Hello, Star Trek fans, and welcome to the Rebinge Deep Space Nine podcast. My name is Kim.
And my name is James.
And we're watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine from the beginning, one episode at a time. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are on Season 2, Episode 12, entitled The Alternate. This episode aired January 9th, 1994. Before we talk about this podcast, anything you want to say about the previous podcast?
No, it was perfect.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, the previous one was an episode of Maverick set on Deep Space Nine.
Okay, no problem. All right, well, should we get started with this one?
Absolutely.
We start in Quark's, and Quark is trying to sell off pieces of someone named Plague. Not Plague, but Plague.
Sounds like Plague.
I don't know if that sounds right. This is the Ferengi who, as Quark said, took a computer chip and turned it into the modular holosuite industry. Odo interrupts, asking how much he's asking, which seems to scare off his potential customer. Quark asks Odo if he's really interested in the purchase, and Odo says he is interested in humanoid death rituals.
That would sound about right for Odo.
Yeah.
Something dark and grim.
Well, Odo says, everybody needs a hobby, which is pretty funny.
That does seem appropriate for Odo's hobby.
It does. He lists off some of the rituals other humanoids do, but then he says the ritual that the Ferengi have of chopping up their loved ones and selling them is just irresistible. He says he's thinking of creating a display case in his office, and he'll save a space just for Quark. Quark is unamused by this until it looks like Odo really is going to buy a piece of the dead guy.
He actually had money.
Odo asks how he's sure it's Plague, and Quark says, "It says so right on the label." And then he says he also has the Ferengi seal of dismemberment. But it's all just a trick, as Odo tells Quark that he tracked down Plague, who is not dead. He's on some planet, and he told him all about Quark's scam. Quark claims, of course, that he's the victim in all of this, that he didn't start it.
He did seem fairly genuine in his surprise stroke shock when Odo said he's still alive.
I guess he did.
I think Quark might have actually gotten taken on this.
Yeah.
Did I not mention earlier how wouldn't the Ferengi be faking these things like crazy?
Well, yeah, but I also still stand by this thought that Quark in particular is going to go for volume of deals and then just assume some of them are not going to be profitable, but you hope that the majority of them are.
You're probably right. It is a case of if I do 100 deals and 99 of them fail, that one is the one I make the profit on.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Well, an older Bajoran dude enters the bar, distracting Odo. It turns out to be Dr. Mora, the guy that studied Odo early on and also the guy that Odo based his own appearance on. Odo shakes his hand kind of awkwardly, asking why he didn't warn him that he was coming, and Dr. Mora says, oh, it was a last-minute decision. But Odo points out that the shuttle ride from Bajor is several hours, so he should have had time. But overall, this whole scene was a little awkward.
Oh, very awkward.
Yeah. Dr. Mora seems to inspect Odo carefully, saying he hasn't quite managed the ears yet, which seems to make Odo self-conscious, and then he looks at the floor. Dr. Mora is like, oh no, it's okay, it's so hard. And then he asks about the suit and the boots, wondering if it's part of Odo or real, which I think is something we've all been wondering and we still don't really have the answer for.
You have brought up more than once?
Yes. But Odo isn't really responding to the questions. Like, maybe he is kind of over being the subject of this guy's experiments and probing.
Yep.
Then Quark calls the guy Odo's dad, which Odo really protests about. Then Quark says, Odo is doing a wonderful job and kind of brags on him to Dr. Mora. And Odo gets annoyed and ushers the doc out of the bar. Then as they're walking down the promenade, the doc then starts scolding him on how to behave, which really irks Odo.
Oh, yeah.
He says, you're still having trouble with social integration, and Odo says he integrates as much as he wants to. They head into the Replimat and sit down. The doc asks about this police thing he's gotten himself involved in.
This police thing.
And Odo corrects him that he's chief of security and that he enjoys the job.
What's this computer thing you're working in now?
Yeah.
Does it make any money?
Like a father would ask?
Yes.
He asks Odo if he misses the work they used to do together, and Odo says never, very pointedly.
Yeah. Well, we'd already brought up before how Odo did not like being in the lab. I mean, he's talked about that in previous episodes.
The doc says, you were unhappy in the lab, but the work, the exploration of you, what you are, where you came from, that's never far from your mind. Well, that's true, Odo says. And then the doc says, that's why he's there. And we cue the theme song.
So the doc does seem to understand that Odo is still very interested in finding out what his origins are.
Yes.
But he doesn't necessarily want to go back to being prodded in a lab.
Well, I don't know that the doc has figured that part out completely. I don't think, for somebody who spent so much time with Odo, he seems to be the one who understands him the least.
Yeah, just from this interaction. He didn't really seem to be listening to what Odo was telling him.
But Odo runs into this a lot where people don't really listen to him. Like, he tells people not to call him constable and they still do it. I don't know. It's like they don't quite take his feelings into account because maybe they don't really think he has feelings, but then he's very emotional.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's rather mean. They don't take his emotions into account.
Well, they don't. They've been calling him constable forever and he told them way back in episode one he didn't like it.
Well, the only one he really allows to do that is Kira.
No, they all do it.
But Kira, he doesn't seem to mind it. If you remember when Kira first called him Constable back in the flashback episode, he didn't object to it.
Right. He didn't quite know what it was then, but ever since then, he's basically said that he tolerates it.
Yeah.
Well, this actor, by the way, playing Dr. Mora, is James Sloyan, and he was immediately recognizable to me as a Romulan from TNG.
Really?
Yes. He was the Romulan in that defector episode where the ambassador defected and they tried to make it look like she really died in a transporter accident.
Uh-huh.
He was the Romulan in that episode. He also played a Klingon on TNG and he played some other alien on Voyager. So he's been all around the Star Trek universe.
That's kind of cool when you see the same actors appearing as different races in Star Trek.
Right. He does look a lot like Odo.
Yeah.
He's just not quite as tall. I mean, the point was to make Odo kind of look like him, right? Because he said that he modeled his appearance after the guy who originally, I don't know, looked after him. It's also interesting that he didn't choose to do the Bajoran nose.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's difficult as well. That's just as hard as the ears.
It's a detail, I suppose. Yeah. We go to Sisko's quarters, and Jake is trying to get out of studying Klingon opera at school, but Sisko is having none of it. He tells him to invite Nog over to listen to it together, which sounds like quite an experience.
This is a classic parent interaction, though. What am I ever going to need fill in the blank for?
Geometry.
Yes. I also laughed when Sisko says, "You may find yourself," and the first thought through my head was, "living in a shotgun shack."
Oh my God. Space ghost. Odo rings the bell and comes in asking to borrow a runabout for Dr. Mora from the Bajoran Institute of Science. He wants to investigate something in the Gamma Quadrant where a Bajoran science probe picked up some familiar DNA patterns on a planet 6 light-years from the wormhole. Dr. Mora thinks he's discovered Odo's origins. Dun, dun, dun. So obviously Sisko's okay with it because into the wormhole we go. We've got Dax, a Bajoran NPC, Odo, and Dr. Mora on the shuttle, and Dr. Mora is very chatty. He's talking about when they first found Odo and they didn't know what he was. He was a shapeless organic broth. Odo doesn't seem to like these stories, like if you took your dad to school and he started telling your friends about how you used to wet the bed when you were 4.
Yes, he does not seem very happy about his dad telling all these fond childhood memories.
Yeah, he's very uncomfortable. And also, he keeps interrupting Odo as he tries to speak and explain his own story, like correcting him. It's very awkward.
Very parental.
The doc says working with Odo was the most rewarding part of his career, and nothing has been the same since he left.
And I guess we learn here that Odo learned how to replicate things very quickly. He used the replicating to communicate with the doctor.
Oh, by turning himself into a beaker. Like he was in a beaker and then he turned himself into a beaker.
Yeah.
And that was his first method of communication.
Right.
Then they get to the planet called LS6, which has a lot of seismic activity, which seems dangerous, but they all beam down. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
And they beam into some sparse ruins of ancient structures. And there's a tall obelisk in the center with some writing on it. But Odo isn't able to understand it.
And a really nice projected back painting.
Of the planet.
Yeah, I kind of laughed. That probably looked really good in standard def.
I don't even remember it. So it obviously had no impression on me. I remember the structures, you know, of the crumbled building around it. It seemed all very small. Dax wants to take the obelisk, the whole thing, with them. And meanwhile, the NPC has found some interesting stuff that looks like dirt with a static charge, but they decide it's a life form. He traps it in a petri dish, and the doc calls it Odo Jr.
Oh, dear.
Odo is quite curious about this. Then they beam the obelisk off, and just as they do that, a major earthquake hits, and bricks start falling on them, and they try to get away, but the transporter can't seem to save them. And then some kind of steam comes out of the ground, causing everybody who's not Odo to start coughing and fall to the ground. And then the computer finally gets a lock on them and beams them up.
So they're just going to take the obelisk back with them. They're effectively robbing a site of archaeological treasures.
Yep.
When does this just become straight up looting?
I don't know. They don't do it when they need to not do it. Like I always say in Star Trek, and they do it when they need to do it.
Couldn't they just take pictures with it? Did somebody leave the imaging device back at Quark's?
God, the imaging device. I mean, the only thing I can imagine is that there don't seem to be any people there.
Yeah.
So they've decided it's okay to loot the place. If there was an ancient civilization there, it would be something of an archaeologically significant site.
Yeah.
But nah, we're just going to take the life form and take the obelisk and get the heck out of there.
So do you think stealing the obelisk caused the seismic activity or unrelated?
I did. I mean, because it happened immediately. Yeah. But there's a lot of things in this episode that seem to hint at something, but then come to nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So after the California moment.
Right. We're in the infirmary now, and Bashir is saying that the Bajorans seem to have been more negatively impacted by the gas than Dax. Odo's concerned about the doc, who has not regained consciousness yet, but they don't even know if he's going to be okay.
He does seem quite concerned about the health of the doctor.
Well, concerned or curious, I don't know. Sisko then kind of takes him aside and says he knows how he feels, comparing it to when his own father was ill.
Yeah.
It's so weird that they keep saying this guy is his father. No one can read Odo because Odo was like, he's not my father.
Yes, he's kind of the guy who just tortured him in a lab.
Right. I was wondering if since Odo is crotchety all the time, like maybe they're not really sure when he's really upset about something because he just seems upset about things all the time. You know, like how he scoffs at everything.
Yeah, because he has no facial cues. So that's confusing right. To non-shape-shifting life forms.
Yeah, maybe that's it. They can't read his face. I never thought about that. Okay.
That would be difficult if you can't get any visual cues about whether someone is sad, unhappy, whatever.
Yes.
Did you notice the awesome raccoon-looking thing on the promenade when Sisko and Odo are talking?
No.
Oh, right at the front of the screen.
Like an alien who looked like a raccoon?
Yes. Yeah, it was like sort of a furry thing.
How did I miss that? I must have been taking notes. Okay, I'm going to have to go back and look.
It's worth looking at.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now we're in the science lab, and Odo finds O'Brien looking at the new pile of dirt in the Petri dish. He says the computer is having a hard time classifying it because it keeps changing and reproducing.
Oh.
He had to put it in a bigger container because it's growing so fast.
It's breeding.
I think all science fiction throughout all history lets us know that that is not good.
Yes. If you have any background in sci-fi, you know the red dirt that's multiplying, not good.
Very bad. Miles says he could use Dax's help, but she's not recovered yet.
Yeah.
So then Odo takes a look at the obelisk, saying he hopes it's a key to his past. They show it a little closer now, and it has all these symbols on it, and it kind of narrows at the top. It's maybe 7 feet tall or so, and the top is kind of round. And then there's a triangular notch out of it right at the top.
Yeah, it's actually a shrine to Pac-Man.
Oh, yes. It's like the Pac-Man is pointing straight up.
Yep.
Very good.
And as the effective police on the station, he doesn't seem very concerned about them looting archaeological sites.
No, not bothered.
And kidnapping silica-based aliens.
Well, I don't know how he feels about that yet. Now it is the middle of the night, and Kira calls Sisko and wakes him up, saying he's needed in the science lab. So then we go back to the science lab, and it's been completely trashed. Everyone is walking around with tricorders, and we zone in on the container that the lifeform was in, and it appears to have been broken through from the inside out. Has a very alien vibe, like as in the movie
Alien.
Oh,
yeah.
As we go into a commercial.
The red dust has escaped.
Yeah.
Did any of us not see that one coming?
No, totally obvious, yeah. Yeah, I didn't see the lab being trashed, but yeah, for sure, we knew that was coming.
Yeah. Why do they never have guards watching these things? I mean, they leave it in the lab and they close the door. It's almost like a Bond villain thing.
Well, they seal the door and they claim to have surveillance cameras, but
yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Why don't they install it, have a guy watching it, have somebody standing there watching the thing, or if they have it in a security shield, have somebody outside the shield. I mean, it's an unknown, potentially dangerous life form that they've already shown is breeding.
I don't know. I mean, we don't seem to have a very big crew, but yeah, somebody could have watched it.
This one seems important.
It does. Especially if they think it really is another Odo or something.
Yeah.
Odo is staring at the obelisk as the team discusses what happened. Miles says it looks like a tornado hit the lab, but nobody broke in. The security seal was still on the door when they arrived. So Sisko calls for a level 3 security scan on the whole station, but Miles says the computer might not be able to find it. So they go to yellow alert, and Odo asks Kira to check surveillance footage and the heat sensor readouts for the lab and surrounding areas.
They have security cameras?
Yeah, these are, I was going to say, these are things we don't seem to have consistently. It's like when you want to know who attacked Quark or when someone paints graffiti on the walls, we don't have them. But now we have them? Yeah.
I think Sisko just went on to Amazon
and said, we need some cameras. Miles determines the life form probably escaped through the ventilation system, which honestly, anybody could have told you that. Many things happened in those vents.
They could try sealing it, you know. Wild idea, like you've got a secure lab, maybe you should seal the vents.
Yeah, they put a security seal on it, but they left the vents open, and it's a thing that just is goo and can easily go into the vent. Oh my god, sometimes we're so dumb. Then Dax enters, saying Dr. Bashir hid her clothes so she wouldn't leave the infirmary, so she had to sneak out in a drafty hospital gown and get clothes from her quarters. This seemed like a very peculiar detail. There are several little weird Dax things in this episode, and this is one of them.
Yeah, Dax was being weird as usual. I did like the way Sisko said, Bashir does that to all his patients.
He did not.
Wasn't that what you were thinking?
Yeah, he does it to all the female patients, hides their clothes. Dax isn't buying the story that the dirt-like life form caused this mess. Good, Sisko says. Find me a better theory. She tells Odo that Dr. Mora is awake, and then she starts examining the obelisk up close. So Odo goes to the infirmary, and he tells Dr. Mora that the life form sample is gone. The doctor tries to get up, but he's struggling to breathe, so Odo pushes him back into bed. He asks if it was showing any signs of intelligence, but Odo says only wanton destruction of the lab. That might be a sign, Mora says. But then he sort of falls back asleep, and Odo leaves him.
Did you see the way very gently he puts the doctor's arm back on his chest when he falls asleep? It was sort of a very caring touch from Odo.
Yeah, I think Odo is conflicted about the doctor. Like, he seems concerned about him, but he certainly doesn't like the implication that he's his father. And it's hard to know if he doesn't like that implication because he's literally not his father and he doesn't know his origins. And so that makes him uncomfortable. Or if he doesn't like the fact that he was a science experiment.
Yeah.
And he looks at this guy as a scientist and not some kind of a father figure, even though that guy seems to think he is a father figure. I don't know. It's hard to read Odo.
And he seems to behave like a father figure as well.
He certainly does. Yes. Miles now is following the trail of the life form through the ducts. I think we saw this coming too.
Yep.
The security camera stopped working for 43 seconds right when the alarm sounded. There's a shocker.
I think Miles should have had a flamethrower in this scene.
To continue the alien theme?
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you should say mention aliens earlier, because this I got a very alien vibe from.
Oh, for sure. Especially when he gets a little bit farther down the duct.
Yeah, and he's talking through the communicator to the others on the outside. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
He just needs a flamethrower.
Well, all they really know right now is that there's an increase in thermal activity during that 43 seconds where the cameras were not working.
Yep.
And Miles keeps crawling through the ducts, and then he stops when he hears something. He moves closer to the noise and he says, if you run into my wife, don't mention I did this.
I'm walking towards the loud growling noise.
Yeah, it definitely feels very risky. And I kept waiting for the alien from Alien to jump out at him. But fortunately, that's not what happened. But as Miles is babbling about lying to Keiko, he does find a small structural breach and a pile of goo falls out of it onto his hand and keeps dripping down into a pile. It wasn't acid like it is an alien, but still, it's gross. He says he found the missing life form, but it appears to be dead, which was surprising.
Yep.
Then we go to Sisko giving a station log about engineering crews working for 15 hours searching through the conduits and not finding any other evidence of the life form. Julian and Dax think it couldn't survive in the atmosphere of the station. It needed more carbon dioxide. This really irritated me. I mean, couldn't they have figured out from the atmosphere of the planet that they took the life form off of what kind of atmosphere it needed? I mean,
so they basically brought it to the station and killed it.
That was so negligent. Exactly. This whole thing is strange. Dax is still dubious that the small pile of goo destroyed the lab. As she gets up to leave the infirmary, she invites Julian to have a ractogeno, and he says, "My replicator or yours?" She says, "I was thinking of the promenade, and I paused this here while I was taking notes, and I paused it right on a very smarmy look on Julian's face, and it gave me a season one vibe, which was very disappointing." He declines, saying he has work to do. And she leaves, and he says to no one, she actually enjoys it. She gets some kind of perverse pleasure out of it. And one of these days, I'm going to stop chasing her, and then we'll see. Yeah, please stop today. Stop chasing her today. Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure she'd be quite happy about it, you creepy stalker.
She's just trying to be friends.
This is real stalker-type territory that he's in right now.
This whole thing of, oh, she enjoys this. No, she doesn't. Nobody does. Stop being a creep. So annoying. Then he hears a noise in the room with the patients in it, and he goes in to check. While his back is turned, something starts to come out of the vent in the ceiling behind him and grabs Julian by the neck and throws him across the room. It makes a very loud screeching noise. Julian grabs some kind of laser and fires it at the goo, which slowly then goes back up into the ceiling. That was kind of scary, that scene.
It was a red tentacle monster.
It was. It was like a tentacle wrapped around his throat.
Yeah. Do you think it was from human resources?
Yes, I think it was. It was a warning from human resources. That would be funny. If we had conversations like that, that would be funny. I mean, on the show, not you and me.
Yes.
But, you know. Now everyone is scanning in the infirmary, and Dr. Mora is on his feet. Julian said he didn't get a good look at it, but it was very big. He hit it with a laser scalpel, and he's not sure if he injured it, but he hit it in the arm or the leg or the tentacle. Dr. Mora said it appears the life form has survived and grown into something interesting. Really not helpful, dude.
I think that's his science side taking over from the practicalities. There's a potentially dangerous shape-shifting creature on the station. Oh, that's fun.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Dax says there is an organic residue left behind this time, so we may be able to track it. Sisko says go to red alert and restrict non-essential people to their quarters. Odo suggests shutting down the promenade too, and Sisko says he'll give the order, calling Odo Constable on his way out the door. Dr. Mora says, Constable? Odo says, it's a nickname that I barely tolerate. Mora says, it's an expression of affection that you find difficult to accept. Odo scoffs and leaves. This, again, we've talked about this so many times.
Odo doesn't like it and nobody seems to care.
He doesn't like it and nobody cares. This makes you a very bad teammate if you are not taking these clues.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, people are always telling you, no, this is a good thing. Oh, you don't like it? It's okay. It's a good thing. So annoying. I have worked at places before where people have given other people nicknames, and then when that other person like either doesn't say anything or doesn't, you know, go to HR about it, everybody's like, it's fine, they like it. And then you find out they do not like it. They wish you would stop. It upsets them greatly. They actually go home and worry about it and fret about it and don't know what to do about it. But the idiots keep calling him that name. Ugh. Show some leadership here. This is very frustrating to me. Mora also doesn't really seem to get that Odo doesn't need or want a father figure. I've certainly experienced that too when someone who was mentoring me kept thinking that I needed those teaching moments over and over when I'd already kind of learned the lesson. And it starts to feel really annoying as the person who is on the receiving end of it.
Yeah.
But I think the thing you forget, and probably the thing that Odo doesn't have the emotional intelligence to recognize, is that that person who's giving that advice or trying to teach those lessons also is getting something important from being able to do that. That mentor then can really start to feel useless or demeaned if you don't take their advice sort of graciously.
They feel like they have less of a purpose.
Right, exactly. And neither one of these two have any emotional intelligence. So they're so broken.
Yeah.
I guess that's where they're trying to represent this father-son relationship that is strained.
Well, I think,
right?
Yeah, we've been building on a lot of the fact that the doctor is very much a science-focused individual.
Yes.
He's almost in some ways like a trope for the scientist who's obsessed with the science and doesn't understand the bigger picture or necessarily the impact it has on others.
Yes.
We just saw that in this scene where he describes there's a potentially dangerous creature running around the station and he finds it interesting.
Yes.
In some ways, it's kind of funny because that's almost like a callback to the original series with Spock, where Spock would be more fascinated by some kind of scientific event or something that was going on, despite the relative level of danger.
Right. That's a good point. I hadn't really put that together. Well, after Odo leaves, Mora runs after him so that he can tell him that he was impressed with what he was doing. The scientific method and the police method have a lot in common. He says he's very proud of Odo, which Odo kind of grunts a response to. In fact, the closed captions actually said Odo grunts. So yeah, communication is, yeah, it's not going well.
This really is like a parent thing. I'm so proud of you.
So they head into the science lab and ask Dax how things are going. She says the computer hasn't found anything, and it hasn't even decrypted the obelisk either. Maybe they need to watch 2001 A Space Odyssey to see what that obelisk had to say. Odo notices now that the obelisk, which they keep calling a pillar, I keep calling it the obelisk.
It looks like an obelisk.
He notices now that it's on the opposite side of the room. And Dax says, it was in my way. I had it moved. And this was so suspicious. And she had this funny little smile on her face when she said it. And I thought, okay, that's a clue of something. But apparently, no, it was nothing.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was about as well.
It was so weird.
Yeah, was this supposed to signify something?
I don't know. And Odo is just like, okay. And then he leaves because he has to go clear the promenade.
Yeah.
Now Mora and Dax are alone in the lab. And he asks her if she compared the new organic life form to the ones they brought back from the planet. And Dax says that they are not the same, but she still has to run a deeper analysis. Then he asks if she knows Odo well, and she says not as well as she'd like because he keeps to himself. And the doctor says they didn't part on good terms when Odo left. He wanted to leave the research facility, but we had so much more work to do. But now I see how far he's come, and I wonder if he was right to go. I thought that was funny the way he said that, like, I wonder if he was right. So if he still has doubts that it was the right thing to do, it makes sense that he's still giving him advice, even though Odo doesn't feel like he needs it.
Oh,
it's like he's still not respecting Odo as a sentient being.
Yeah.
Or I guess in this case, if you carry on with the analogy, he doesn't respect him as a grown-up.
Right, right.
And instead he sees him as a child or a science experiment or something. Like he's an anthropological experiment of some kind.
Well, the doctor did say it was the high point of his life, was doing the study of Odo.
Right, he did say that earlier, yes. Dax says Odo is invaluable on the station. Mora said he always thought he'd come back because he was so ill-prepared to leave, but he's now realizing that he'd better get used to the idea that Odo is not coming back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how many years has it been? That's really interesting. Well, then the computer beeps and they compare the new entity and the original one and see that it's not at all the same. She says it will take the computer a few hours to compare the DNA of the new life form to all the others in the computer's database.
I think they need better computers.
Yeah, the computers are so slow.
We do see Dax doing a lot of science work here.
Finally. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff she should be doing all the time.
Yeah, as the science officer.
As the science officer, exactly. Now in security, Odo tells Dr. Mora that the NPC from their away mission woke up and he's going to be okay.
I was sure he was going to be a red shirt.
Me too. The doc says he's relieved, and Odo says he doesn't look relieved. This makes the doc say that Odo is remarkable, that he's able to understand something like that about another person. But then he says, there is so much about you we still don't understand. The doctor says that Dax is doing an analysis of the DNA chain from the new life form. He says it's going to take a few hours, but it doesn't matter because he already knows that it's Odo.
And the big reveal.
Yeah, Odo looks very freaked out as it goes into the ad break. We come back from the ad break, and they're talking about how the two incidents occurred 16 hours apart, which is the length of Odo's rejuvenation period. And Odo should have been in his bucket during both attacks. The doctor says that Odo is tracking himself, which Odo finds very baffling.
Yeah.
He suggests that this is common, and maybe other unresolved cases in the books may have been caused by Odo. That really upsets him. He is not amused, and he says he does not commit criminal acts. Then he very wisely wonders if the gas from the planet caused it, and he starts to run to Dr. Bashir, but Mora stops him and says, Bashir won't understand that you turned into some uncontrolled thing and tried to kill him. I'm like, of course he will. That's the most Star Trek thing that can happen. Remember when Julian turned into Vantika?
Oh, yeah.
And also Dramatis Personae, where everybody turned into something else. I mean, come on. That was annoying.
And Odo saved them all.
Exactly. So this was frustrating.
I felt like the doctor was kind of gaslighting him.
He was. He totally was. He starts freaking Odo out, saying they'll put him in a high-security prison or they'll quarantine him on a deserted asteroid. I mean, come on, Odo, trust your friends.
The Doctor is being kind of awful here. I agree. Like he's being like a clingy parent.
Yes, I totally agree.
Trying to sort of guilt their kids to holding on to them.
It's also a little bit abusive.
Oh, yes.
Like, you can't survive without me. Nobody else understands you.
Yep, yep.
Then he plays the card of, you've never been able to trust any other humanoid but me. This guy is not likable.
No, he's a very bad parent.
Odo says, what makes you think I trust you? The guy says, I resent that. I really do. Then he launches into a speech about how Odo wouldn't be there without his guidance and blah, 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 blah. And Odo, at this point, is starting to melt. And he's saying he is not going back to the center with him. Why? The guy shouts. We'll work through this together. Odo slams his hands onto the console. He starts to melt. There's like an electrical charge that happens.
Yeah.
And then he starts to grow. And they don't show it, but you just see the eyes of the Doctor get really big as he's looking up, as Odo seems to be growing taller. And then Mora runs away.
Yeah, they do the melting effect, and then obviously they ran out of effects budget.
Maybe. Now we go to ops, and Miles is reporting a power failure in security. But when Sisko calls Odo, nobody answers. Kira calls for all deputies to report to security because of an intruder. Deputies? That's the first time we've heard that, outside of when Odo deputized Quark in that one episode. Miles says he's tracking the intruder in the conduit above Odo's office. This is where I was 100% convinced that it had something to do with the obelisk.
Ah.
I was like, you brought an obelisk on board and you are forgetting that it's there. You brought a new thing on board. It's like, they never pay attention to the new thing.
Maybe the new thing's causing it.
Yeah. They shut off the primary flow of power to the entire core section to try and stop whatever it is. Then Dr. Mora comes up the elevator into op saying the creature is Odo and it may have something to do with the volcanic gas from the planet. He says it's not really Odo, it's separate and independent. Dr. Mora thinks it's Odo attacking him personally on some kind of instinctual level, and Sisko asks Miles to try and set up a force field so that they can trap Odo. Mora says, you'll have to use me as bait.
So the creature is going to be attracted to the Doctor.
Yes.
As it's Odo at some unconscious level.
Yes. Although he says it's separate and independent, which is confusing.
Yeah.
Then everyone lines up on the promenade as the trap is set. Mora, Sisko, and Kira are standing talking about luring him into the force field. Sisko says everyone has phasers on maximum stun, but if stun doesn't work, they'll set the phasers to kill, which upsets Kira.
Wow. I mean, I think that demonstrates Sisko can make the really hard choices
without
too much difficulty.
But what has he actually harmed that you would kill him? This seems so extreme. I mean, yes, he kind of attacked Julian, but he didn't really hurt him. Julian was totally fine.
I assume it's because of the potential for damage. I mean, they don't really truly understand what Odo is.
It's true, but it just seemed like an overreaction. I mean... You could just beam him out into space.
Yeah, they have the ability to do that.
They've done that before. I don't know. I thought it was extreme.
It does seem a little harsh. I'll give you that.
Yes.
But I guess Sisko is also worried about the integrity of the station, his crew.
Yeah, of course. He's protecting people.
I could kind of forgive him for leaning on the let's go extreme.
Yeah. But was he ready to kill Bashir when he was Vantika? Not really.
True. He has demonstrated an unwillingness to sacrifice Starfleet personnel.
Yes, but he was ready to wipe out Odo.
Yeah.
Miles releases the seal on the conduit and everyone waits for the Odo monster to appear. It's creepy as they're all standing in the dark, phasers ready.
Yes.
And eventually the blob starts coming out of one of the vents right behind Mora.
It's a little bit of a horror episode here.
Yeah. It turns into this big, blobby monster, and it seems to attack, but it gets caught in the force field immediately. And then it just kind of pulsating inside that force field and screeching, which was crazy.
I don't think those special effects aged terribly well.
No.
They looked a bit old video game.
Yeah, they were a little cheesy. I've done it to you again, haven't I, Odo? Dr. Mora says to the big blob. I've made you a prisoner. Dear God, what have I done?
Now he finally realizes what an awful person he is.
Yeah, it's a strange moment for him to have that realization.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seemed to occur to him. Maybe once he saw it again, like he said, in a confined space, he realized he had taken a being again and locked it in a cage. I don't know.
I think you're right.
It eventually shrinks down and turns into an oozy Odo. They drop the force field as Odo seems to lose consciousness. Bashir rushes over and doesn't do anything because he never knows what to do with Odo.
Yeah, it's a sweaty Odo, though.
Yes. The other doc says, "We have a lot to talk about, Odo." Then we go to the infirmary, and Odo is waking up. Bashir says he's not even going to pretend to know what happened, but with Dr. Mora's help, they have removed all traces of the gas from Odo's system. So apparently we figured out what caused it.
And he's very upset because he couldn't hide his clothes.
He can't hide Odo's clothes because they're part of Odo. Yeah. When Odo loses consciousness, I don't understand why he maintains the shape of Odo.
That's a good point.
He should just turn to goo.
Yeah.
But I do get it. That would be expensive. But they could just, like, scrape him into a bucket. They carry the bucket to the infirmary.
Yeah. Odo passed out. Here's a bucket.
This is Odo. A bucket on the pillow.
We just saw when he gets stressed, he gets very melty.
Well, I don't know if that was because he was just stressed or if it was because he was stressed and he had the problem with the gas in his system.
Ah.
He was very gassy.
Yeah.
Odo thanks Bashir, and then Bashir leaves them alone to talk. Dr. Mora says he's going home, and Odo says, "I want you to understand, I had no idea." Mora says, "You had to speak in a voice loud enough for me to hear. I'm sorry it was necessary." And then he says that he would like, in a very small way, to be a part of Odo's life again. "But your life here on the station, maybe we could talk about things that matter to you, to us, from time to time." Odo says he'd like that, and then they kind of hold hands briefly, and the end.
The reconciliation of the terrible parent and the child.
Well, it's really hard to tell these super emotional stories in 46 minutes.
Yeah.
Especially when you've also mixed in the science-y part of it and, you know, the horror part of it and whatever.
Right.
But it's like he had this realization as the father figure that if he really is a father figure, he needs to act like one.
Yeah.
And respect the child as an adult now or whatever. But it wrapped up so fast. Which happens a lot on these shows.
Well, that's always the problem.
Yeah.
They have to do it in these sort of little bite-sized pieces to get the whole story together. I mean, it's typical of network television at the time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, after I typed in the end, I typed in, huh. That's how my notes end on this episode. I think the reason I typed that in was because it just seemed like there were so many red herrings that we never explained or wrapped up or whatever. Anyway, we have reached the end of this episode, and do you have any over-analysis?
Well, yes, I do. So this is now the second episode in a row that they've ignored the really interesting thing. Last time it was the little gambling ball thing that changed probability. And this one is the obelisk with really interesting writing, which may or may not be a shrine to Pac-Man.
It's the Pac-Man planet.
Yeah.
And when they took the shrine, it caused an earthquake. It caused a seismic event.
Exactly. So they really seem to have sort of glossed over that.
Yes, they did.
And the next thing is, so they brought back that silica-based life form, didn't look after it, and killed it.
Killed it.
These are terrible people.
I totally agree. The life form was nothing. I mean, it really was just a dead pile of goo. And you could argue that two things happened. One, they didn't respect the environment that it needed in order to survive. So they're terrible scientists. But you could also say Odo essentially killed it by setting it free.
Oh, that's true.
And so, yeah, they're all terrible.
Do you think that that life form was a parallel with Odo? Have they brought this thing back and they kept it trapped? And in this case, they killed it because they didn't really understand it.
Maybe that is part of the thing that helped the doctor understand he wasn't doing the right thing.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So really, at its heart, this episode was trying to explore a bad parent-child relationship.
Yeah.
The doctor's very parental towards Odo, like how he talks about how proud he is of him, but he has like no real understanding of Odo as a person. And then on top of that, he really wants Odo to come back to the lab for the doctor's own good, not anything to do with Odo's own development as a person and as an independent creature. He's very self-focused on what the doctor wants.
Well, there's a lot of parallels to the empty nest syndrome there.
Yeah.
Where the parent felt the most useful when the child actually needed it, and the least useful when he realized that the child didn't need him anymore.
Yeah.
So if you would just come back.
Right. Yeah.
No.
And my final point on this one is, you described it as a throwaway scene with Jake and Sisko at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was actually showing the contrast in the relationship between Jake and Sisko, father and son, which they've mm-hmm. done before, with the relationship between Odo and his father. Seeing how different the very yeah. idealized Jake Sisko is with this very bad relationship.
Right. Like, here's a good parenting example and here's a bad parenting example.
Yeah.
It's not that I thought it was so much a throwaway as I didn't want to overanalyze it, I guess, because we have seen that many times.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to give us a break about how much time we spent talking about it.
And I think that was a deliberate reminder. These two have an idealized relationship.
Yeah, I get your point.
Okay, that wraps it up for me.
So the obelisk was nothing? Or did the obelisk cause the earthquake?
I'm wondering if the obelisk caused the earthquake. I'm wondering if it had more of a purpose.
And then what was the weird thing with Dax moving it? What was that? Was that trying to trick us into thinking it was something else?
It might have been. That might have been a classic red herring.
Oh, that was so bizarre.
It didn't really seem to serve a purpose otherwise.
Yeah. I'm not sure what we learned. I mean, we already knew that Odo left the research center because he hated being an animal in the zoo,
yeah.
right? Or a circus freak or whatever. We already learned in The Forsaken when he told the Waxana yeah. that it was different when Mora saw him turn into goo because he looked at him like it was science without really seeing him.
And this kind of expanded upon that, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that really emphasized that Odo didn't look at that guy as a father figure. He felt like an experiment to the guy.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I didn't feel like I learned that here. I felt like I learned that back in that episode in last season.
Oh, that's a good point. Although I think we did learn here just how much Odo did not like being that lab rat.
Yeah. But he still cared about the guy. I guess that's that sort of, if you do have a parent who maybe was difficult or maybe a bad influence on your life, but you still feel a bond to it. You still feel some kind of an attachment yeah. to it. It did seem like that was sort of there. It was strange. It could have been expanded upon more. It's tough yeah. in 46 minutes, but that was a little strange.
In that they also want to make kind of an action episode and make it more interesting rather than have a very talking heads kind of episode.
That's true. Although the talking head episode of Duet was pretty
good. Oh, yeah, that was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, but I guess we don't want all those episodes. We want the Star Trek stuff. We want them to go through the wormhole and
yeah.
we want them to beam to different places. Yeah, we want that stuff. So it's all good.
Oh, yeah, they had a lot in this episode.
They did.
I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of things that you put into a Star Trek episode, as it were,
yeah.
we had everything. The only thing we missed was the red shirt.
That's true. He recovered. And then the only other note that I have under overanalysis is that when a volcanic gas made Odo instinctually attack the one thing he saw as a threat, it made the guy realize he needed to back off. I don't know. It just seemed awfully simple. It was like, oh, now I get it. I'm a bad father. I don't know. It was just a little easy. A little easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to women in the future. And really, my only comment here is we return to the creeping of season one. For absolutely no reason whatsoever. It was so disappointing. I really had thought we'd put that behind us. He's been hitting on her for a year, and she has said no for a year. Stop it. It's unprofessional. It's disrespectful. It's childish. He needs a father.
It's full-on stalker.
It's just not good. It's not cute. I don't like it. But on the other hand, Dax got to be sciencey in this episode, which I really appreciated. Kira had virtually no lines, but she was fine. Yeah, that's all I have.
Dax did also get to steal an obelisk.
She did get to steal an obelisk. It was her idea. Yes, that is true. Well, that's all I have for women in the future. So let's do rating.
Okay.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, or neutral. What is your rating?
I am giving it a thumbs up
mm-hmm.
because it expanded Odo.
Yeah.
We learned more about his time in the lab.
A little.
Which he talked about a little to this point, like in the Luxana episode.
Yeah.
But we didn't get a lot of background into how much he really disliked it.
Or really, yeah, how uncomfortable it made him.
Yeah. 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 And it's also classic Trek. Someone turns into something, tries to destroy the ship.
Right.
Or kill everyone. And then everything's fine. And they're all back to being friends.
It's just like my favorite Star Trek trope.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that. Yeah. I also give it a thumbs up. My notes say very Star Trek. Totally agree. Uh-huh. I mean, obviously, there are some things that were a little bit clunky and not fleshed out as well as they could have been. But yeah, this was a very Star Trek episode. Yep. Two thumbs up. That's good. Except one thumbs down for that one crappy Julian scene. But other than that, yeah, it was good.
I would agree.
Okay, that is it then for season 2, episode 12. Come back next week for episode 13. In the meantime, if you'd like to tell us your own overanalysis of this or any episode, or if you just want to say something nice, please email us at rebingeit@gmail.com or tweet us at rebingeit. Also, check us out on talkthroughmedia.com. You can leave feedback for us there, and you can also listen to all of our other awesome podcasts.
Thanks for joining us on the Rebinge Deep Space Nine podcast.
That's it for me.
And that's it from me.